Om Shanti and good evening to everybody. Today we have Dr. Nikhil Patel with us, who is going to take a class on sleep management. He's been in GYAN since his teenage years, and he's the head and consultant of Department of Neuropsychiatry and De-Addiction at the Global Hospital and Research Center. He's also a Life Fellow of Indian Psychiatric Society. He's done a lot of research on effect of Raj Yoga meditation on drug abuse and neurotic illnesses, and presented this research in various conferences and journals. So I would request Dr. Nikhil Patel, brother, to please take over. Thank you. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti. Good evening. It's a pleasure and a fortune to meet the double foreigner children of Bob Dana in Gyan Sarovar. Most of you are enjoying the meeting with the Brahmin family, the global international Brahmin family in Gyan Sarovar. At the same time, you have been enjoying meeting with Bob Dada. You have been having the classes on different spiritual aspects of Baba's philosophy. You have a variety of classes, I'm sure. And today I'm going to talk to you about sleep management, which is going to be a little scientific with a perspective of medicine. Since I am a neuropsychiatrist, a specialist in neurological and psychiatric health, I'll talk to you about technical scientific aspects of sleep, sleep management, sleep disorders, physiology and psychology of sleep, etc., etc. I'm going to talk to you for about 25-30 minutes, and I'll be happy to answer your questions if at all you have. And I'm sure nobody would be having a nap during my class. And if somebody naps, let me tell you at the outset, if somebody naps and dozes off right now, has a deficit of sleep. So he or she has not taken adequate amount of sleep during afternoon or last night. But I can see the faces of each and everyone. It's bright, shining, alert. And that's a good sign that all of you had good sleep, good sound, refreshing sleep today afternoon and last night. Okay, you all know that we have to be sleep. There is a stage between complete body consciousness and complete soul consciousness, which is in Paramdham. There is a semi-soul consciousness, which is considered to be sleep. Everybody goes to sleep. Everybody in this world goes to sleep. Everybody dreams during sleep. There's a myth that I never dream. Somebody says, you know, I never dream, which is not true. Everybody dreams. It's a question of remembering the dream while you wake up, recalling the dream. There are some people who are unable to recall the dreams. There are some people who are able to recall the dreams. But everybody dreams. Many of you must have read or heard about different stages of sleep. We all pass through different stages of sleep. We have a cycle of 90 minutes of sleep, which repeats every 90 minutes until we wake up during Amrit Vela. And this 90 minutes cycle of sleep is divided into two parts. One is light sleep, which is known as REM sleep, reticular system. You know, it is considered with there is a part of the brain on the backside in the spinal cord, which is known as reticular activating system. and that gets activated. The other parts of the brain become dormant. And that's how it's known as REM sleep, light sleep. And the other part is known as deep sleep, which is known as non-REM sleep. Now both these parts of sleep change as soon as the stage of sleep advances. Say for example, in the beginning, the very first sleep cycle of 90 minutes, when you fall asleep, the major chunk of your 90-minute cycle would be deep sleep, which is known as non-REM sleep, wherein you don't dream. And maybe approximately 15 to 20 minutes of later part of 90 minutes is light sleep, which is known as non-REM sleep, wherein you dream. But as soon as that 90-minute cycle finishes, the second cycle starts. And again, there is a deep sleep which starts in the second 90-minute cycle of sleep, wherein you don't dream. What happens? Every 90 minutes, the portion of deep sleep, non-REM sleep, reduces from, say, 75 minutes to 60 minutes, 60 minutes to 45 minutes. So the later part of sleep, towards the end of early Amritvela, we have half or even less than half of the 90-minute cycle, which is deep sleep. And a bigger chunk is in light sleep, 50 minutes or 55 minutes, you know, or 60 minutes. So at the time of waking up during Amritvela, the light sleep is more than the deep sleep. And during light sleep, non-REM sleep, you are dreaming. So when you wake up during Amritvela, many a times, you feel as if you were dreaming. And many a times, you quickly come into the consciousness, awake stage, alertness. Sometimes you tend to forget the dreams. Sometimes you are so engrossed and relaxed, watching and enjoying the dream, that you remember. Or sometimes you are able to recall it. But everybody dreams. We have certain standards of Brahmin life. We have certain daily routine that we have to follow. We have to quickly get ourselves connected to Baba. And so we tend to forget the dreams and start remembering Baba, having good morning and our communion, personal communion, that starts. Right? This is the usual pattern of sleep that we have. Now let me tell you what is normal sleep, then I'll let you what abnormal sleep is. Then I'll let you know what sleep disorders are, because they are very important to know. There are certain sleep disorders, about 50 to 60 sleep disorders. You should know a little bit of everything, you know, so that if you find there is something wrong with somebody, you can easily, quickly, able to recognize, be aware of it. The normal sleep, as far as the timing is concerned, as Baba always says in the Murli, is around 8 hours. On an average, for an adult, barring the senior citizens and the children, the average requirement of an adult is 8 hours, plus or minus 2 hours. There is a range of normal requirement of sleep from 6 to 10 hours that we neurologists, neuropsychiatrists consider to be normal. It's a range. The requirement of sleep depends upon one's age, one's activity, one's weight, weather, and of course, the quality of your efforts. In scientific terminology, somebody who sleeps less than 6 hours a day An adult I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the senior citizens or the children. Somebody who sleeps less than 6 hours a day and feels fresh, refreshed, alert, having normal cheerful mood during whole day is known as a short sleeper. Somebody who sleeps more than 10 hours a day, an adult, it's only after he or she sleeps 10 hours or 11 hours of sleep at night, he or she becomes alert and fresh during daytime, and that's the requirement of that individual. They are in medical terminology known as long sleepers. But mind well, somebody who sleeps more than 12 hours a day has got a disorder, hypersomnia disorder. Somebody who sleeps less than 6 hours, maybe 4 hours or 5 hours, and it affects the day-to-day functioning, the normal routine the next day. His mood, his emotions, his behavior, his thinking, his memory is all affected. It's a disorder. So, for Brahmins, what is the requirement of sleep? And how would you consider the Brahmin having normal sleep quota? Baba many a times speaks about being conquerors of sleep. If you think it over very deeply, try to remain awake for a whole night. Make an experiment. And see for yourself what happens the next day. Have you ever experienced having a sleepless night? The whole night? And how do you feel the next day? Tell me honestly. No energy. You are exhausted. You are delirious. You are disoriented. So in other words, what Baba means by being conqueror of sleep is to be able to fall asleep in time whenever you want, to be able to sleep as long as you want, and to be able to wake up as and when you want. And make sure that you don't sleep extra. This is what Baba means by being conqueror of sleep. Brahma Baba in his 60s and 70s and 80s was able to sleep just 4 hours a day, 4 hours at night time. He was a senior most citizen of the father of Brahmin family. We still have this body which is, according to Dharma plan, has its own age, 50, 60, 40, whatever, you know. We have to look after our body, mind well. We have to look after our health. The body demands sleep, no matter whether you are Brahmin or not Brahmin. But sleep management for Brahmin differs in a sense that your requirement of sleep or your quota of sleep, required quota of sleep, can be broken into two or three parts. When I say you require at least 6 hours of sleep a day, that means it can be at a stretch, 6 hours whole night, or it can be 4 hours during night time and 2 hours in the afternoon. But minimum it should be 6 hours. If you are able to sleep 8 hours in Gyan Sarovar or in Madhuban, that's a fortune, I tell you. Because I have seen your lifestyle. I'm also a special Madhuban Nivasi who is a resident of United States of America. Now I've been going to United States of America to Sister Gita's Washington Center. And I see how the double foreigners work. They have the routine, their own routine. Right from early morning, Amrit Vela. Doing Amrit Vela class and give a class and then prepare the breakfast and run, drive the car and reach to the job, you know. And then come back exhausted in the evening. So you may not have luxury to sleep 8 hours while you are in your centers. But when you are in Madhuban for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, you have that luxury, you have that pleasure to have extra nap in the afternoon. Your daily routine in fact changes, you know. Here the daily routine is different. So, what I'm saying, while you are in your Laukic country, looking after both the Laukic as well as the Alaukic job, you may have 8 hours of sleep at a stretch at night time. So you have to go to bed early, wake up early, go to job early. Except the weekend, you are not able to sleep in the afternoon. You can't afford to have a nap in the afternoon on working days. Whereas in Madhuban, you can afford to have a nap every day, 2 hours or maybe more. So, but your requirement of sleep, the required quota of sleep of around 8 hours has to be finished. What happens? Those Brahmins who don't sleep for 8 hours at night time in their beds, they invariably, irresistibly doze off while doing Amritvela yoga or the Murli class. And they finish their quota, mind well. They finish their quota of 8 hours of sleep. And unless they don't finish that required quota of sleep, they will not be fresh and conqueror of Maya during the whole day. Take it from me. Unless you give proper rest to a chariot and to the driver itself, your own self, you really won't enjoy the whole day. Your mood will fluctuate. You might have Maya here and there. You'll be upset by a little bit of things, you know. If you haven't finished the required quota of your sleep. So I'm sure I have let you know what the requirement of a Brahmin, requirement of sleep for a Brahmin is. Now look at your own daily routine. When patients come to us, you know, we advise the tips regarding sleep to the patients according to their profession, their daily routine, their physical health, weather, the physical activity, etc., etc. So everyone has his or her own requirement of sleep. So for example, I give an example. Somebody who is 25 years of age, a Kumar, very active, studying in the college, doing a job as well, doing a lot of sports, in a European country, where there is a lot of snowfall, maybe in Russia, for example, he might require about 9.5 hours of sleep a day, as compared to a 60-year-old mother who is living at home or at the center, doing no sports, has a fixed daily routine, enjoying retired life, from morning until evening, looks after the household, goes to the center, does some karmana seva, and goes to bed. She might require just 5.5 or 6 hours of sleep, and she'll be fine. Those who are obese, those who are overweight, tend to sleep more. If you feel that your sleep requirement is artificially high, if you are 50 years of age, your sleep should be around 7.5 hours a day, but you are sleeping 9.5 hours, and you don't have too much exertion, physical exertion, but you are obese or you are overweight, please cut down your weight and see the difference. But make sure that you have finish the required quota of your sleep. The quality of sleep should be sound, refreshing, restorative. Somebody who starts dreaming right after falling asleep, somebody who starts dreaming as soon as he or she falls asleep has a problem. Never ever you should start dreaming as soon as you fall asleep. If somebody has recurrent dreams just after falling asleep, which happens many a days for a few weeks. It's a sleep disorder. It's known as insomnia disorder. It's not normal. Try to rectify it. I'll give you certain tips how to keep yourself, how to have good sleep naturally, normally, so that you need not consult a doctor like me. Because to consult a doctor like me to take an appointment in your country, I know it's very costly. You have to wait a long time. So I'll give you some tips how to induce good sleep, how to have good sleep, normal sleep. Yes. Now before I give you those tips how to have good, refreshing sleep every day, so that you enjoy good Amrit Vela and good class and enjoy the whole day, I'll let you know briefly about what are the different kinds of different kinds of sleep disorders. There are about 50 to 60 different sleep disorders. Some of them are known as insomnia disorders. Some of them are known as hypersomnia disorders. Some of them are known as perverted sleep disorders. You must have heard about some people who talk during sleep, who whisper during sleep. There are some people who snore during sleep. There are some people who have jerks in their hands or legs, which is recurrent, not just infrequent, frequent, you know. There are some people who wake up during sleep, walk around and go to bed, and don't remember in the morning that they had woken up. They had woken up and stood up during sleep. There are some people who have frightening dreams every day during sleep. These are all different sleep disorders. There are certain people whose respiration stops, their breathing stops for about 20 to 30 seconds, as if the soul has left the body. And it happens recurrent. It happens frequently during night time, which is known as sleep apnea. So there are different sleep and sleep-related illnesses. Now, let me tell you common sleep-related illnesses, which you should be aware of. Make sure that you don't fall asleep after 1 or 1.5 hours of tossing in the bed. Ideally, you should fall asleep within 1, 1.5 hours of time. Maximum 2 hours. I know if you are tired, you can quickly go to sleep. But if you are not tired, especially during weekends, or if you have taken a lot of tea and coffee or caffeinated beverages during daytime, you might fall asleep later than 2 hours or 3 hours. And you try to toss around in the bed and fall asleep after 2 hours or 3 hours. That's not normal. Ideally, you should be able to fall asleep within 1, 1.5 hours of time. And as soon as you fall asleep, as I told you, you shouldn't be dreaming. You should have a sound sleep. It's only the later part of sleep, towards Amrit Vela, that while you wake up, you must be dreaming. Otherwise, dreams in the beginning of sleep, as soon as you fall asleep, is not normal. It's a disorder. It's an insomnia disorder. Once in a while, it might happen. So, for example, there is a jet lag that you experience. Most of you come to India, or while you go back to your country, many a times you feel jet lag. Now, there are ways and means how to cope up with jet lag. I never experienced jet lag. When I go to America, I am fresh and alert. Have you seen me, Sister Geeta, being tired while I land in Washington? No. Okay. There are ways and means how to get rid of jet lag before you start your journey. I'll give you those tips because they are very important for you. Because once you now go back to your respective country from Madhuban, you might have little disturbance of sleep. And to have your normal rhythm of sleep, you might have difficulty. So I'll give you some tips how to get rid of jet lag. See the difference of your time zone. So for example, you are living in America and you are coming to India. It's about 12 hours of time difference, right? 12 hours of time difference that you experience. You start a journey from America and reach to India. It's just the same time that you reach in Ahmedabad or Delhi. So make sure that before you start your journey from America, 2 or 3 days prior to your taking off from your country, you start following the daily routine of India. In other words, try to sleep during daytime and try to remain awake at night time, which is not that difficult. It requires a little bit of practice. And once you land in India, you will be easily be accustomed to the Indian time zone. You'll start enjoying the Madhuvan routine the very next day. Opposite, while you go back from here to America, try to do more yoga during night time here, and try to remain awake at night time and sleep during daytime. Try to sleep more during daytime. So before you leave from here and reach America, try to change your daily routine. So as soon as you reach America, you'll be used to that time zone and you'll be quickly be able to synchronize with the American time zone. If there is no much difference of time zone, say for example those who are living in Malaysia or those who are living in Dubai or Sharjah, they have a difference of time zone of 3 hours or 2 hours or 4 hours, they necessarily need not follow these tips. But yes, those who have marked difference of time zone, 8 hours or 7 hours or 10 hours, they must try to follow these tips. Okay, now coming back to the sleep disorders. Somebody who has light sleep every day, somebody who wakes up in between during sleep, somebody who is unable to fall asleep within 1.5 to 2 hours of time, somebody who doesn't have a sound refreshing sleep, has dreams in between, and he wakes up the next day, he or she feels that he has not slept or she has not slept well. In other words, it was not a deep, sound sleep that the person experienced. And if it happens repeatedly for most of the days of a week, for at least 2 weeks or 3 weeks, this is known as insomnia disorder. It's not that you are unable to sleep well for 1 or 2 days and you are labeled as having an insomnia disorder. No. At least 2 weeks. Just opposite to it. Somebody who sleeps more than 10 hours a day, every day, for at least 2 to 3 weeks time, which is unusual. His normal requirements of sleep is 8 hours, but he starts sleeping 10 hours or 11 hours or 12 hours a day, and it continues for 2 to 3 weeks or 4 weeks. This is known as hypersomnia disorder. Mind well, those Brahmins who doze off in the class or during Amrit Vela don't have any of the disorders. Most of these Brahmins have a deficit of requirement of their sleep. As I told earlier on, if you don't sleep 8 hours in your bed, you tend to doze off in the class sitting on the chair and finish the quota of your 8 hours or at least 7 hours. So those Brahmins who are dozing off during Amrit Vela or in the Murli class don't have any of the sleep disorders. Mind well, it's just the deficit of their requirement of sleep. Now count the number of hours that you sleep while you are in Madhuban, while you are in your country doing your Laukik job, and see for yourself what is the normal requirement of sleep. If you don't take coffee or tea, mind well, which induces insomnia, which induces sleeplessness at night time. If you are taking more than 3 cups of tea a day, or more than 2 cups of coffee, large cups of coffee a day, you might have insomnia at night time. You might have difficulty falling asleep at night time. Caffeine or caffeine containing beverages or caffeine containing chocolates and Cadburys, they are all known to cause insomnia. If you are fond of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, etc., if you are fond of chocolates, a lot of chocolates, and if you are taking daily, you might have insomnia at night time. You might have trouble falling asleep at night time. And if you take excessive amount of caffeine in any form, it not only causes insomnia, but it causes anxiety, it causes palpitations, it causes heart problems, it causes arrhythmias, irregular heartbeats, and many more things. So please make sure that you don't take more than 2 or 3 cups of tea or coffee a day, or an equivalent amount of cold drink, caffeinated beverage. The rough formula of equivalent caffeine containing stuff is like 3 cups of tea is equal to 2 cups of small cups of coffee is equal to about 500 to 700 ml of Pepsi or Coca-Cola. More than this amount on a given day can cause insomnia. Or caffeine containing, chocolate containing ice cream, or caffeine containing anything like those powders, you know, that you add into milk, caffeine containing what they call Bonvita and Boost and Horlicks, and they are caffeinated powder. There are some people, especially the children, who are addicted to this kind of powders, you know. They all contain a lot of caffeine. And if they drink that caffeine, they can have insomnia, they can have anxiety, they can be restless, they can be hyperactive, you know. So, make sure that you don't take more than this prescribed amount of caffeine. And please avoid all caffeine containing stuff, especially after 5 p.m. in the evening. If you take it after 5 p.m., for sure you will have insomnia or you will fall asleep a little late. Occasionally, if you have done a lot of overexertion, you are too tired on a day, and if you drink a cup of tea just before you go to bed, it can be not insomnic. It can't be causing sleeplessness, but it acts as analgesic, painkiller, and your exhaustion, your tiredness, your fatigue goes away because of a cup of tea, and you fall asleep immediately. But it happens rarely. It doesn't happen with everybody. So don't try that. There are some people who recommend, oh, I take coffee, you know, or I take tea just before I go to bed when I'm tired, you know, I don't have any problem. I fall asleep. But if you try to imitate that, you might have a problem. So please don't try that. It can cause insomnia. It can cause even intermittent awakening from the sleep at night time. So caffeine, excess amount of caffeine, in other words, is very, very dangerous. Beware of excess amount of caffeine. Okay? Number 3, if you want to have good normal sleep, try to follow the same daily routine almost every day. Major ups and downs in your daily routine can cause insomnia. There are some people who have a different daily routine on working days, and on the weekend, they try to sleep too much, which is not advisable, which is not healthy. You know, on working days, you sleep only 4 to 5 hours, which is less than required, and then if you sleep too much during weekends, which is desirable. But if you are sleeping normally every day on working days, but still on the weekends you tend to sleep more, which is not desirable. It is artificially increased amount of sleep, which is not advisable, which is not healthy. If you suddenly change your daily routine from a fixed daily routine, wherein you tend to sleep too much, it can affect your health in a bad manner, in an adverse manner. So try to stick to the daily routine even during weekends. Even during weekends, if you are not sleeping at all in the afternoon while you are at work, you should not make a habit to sleep in the afternoon during weekends. Make sure that you still have the same daily routine during weekends, but sleep little extra at night time. And try to compensate the deficit of required sleep that you had during working days. Number five, if you want to enjoy good, normal, sound sleep, make sure that you have moderate exertion during daytime, not too much or too less, and at the same time make sure that you don't eat too much or don't eat too less during daytime. It has been observed that those who try to diet too much, try to cut down the diet, have more insomnia, or those who overeat, those who have a habit of overeating during daytime, have more sleep than required. So overeating and undereating or fasting is not advisable if you want to have normal, regular, sound sleep. Number 6, if you have problem related to sleep, or if you have occasional insomnia and you want to get rid of that kind of insomnia, make sure that during the evening hours, before you go to bed, you withdraw yourself from different sensory stimuli. When we wake up in the morning, we are exposed to different sensory stimuli, sound and light, right? Doing physical work. Exactly opposite should happen before we retire at night time, before we go to bed at night time. We should withdraw ourselves from sound or sound producing stuff like CD players and televisions and chatting with family members or brothers and sisters. Try to switch off the lights before you go to bed, or make it dim light. In other words, try to withdraw yourself from sensory stimuli which are stimulating the brain. So if you withdraw yourself from the sensory stimuli, the body automatically has a tendency to relax and the brain starts getting a signal of getting a sleep. And you fall asleep in time. There are some people who have a very bad habit to switch on the television, watching the news at night time, you know, with a loud sound sometimes, you know, which is not healthy. Similarly, there are people who have a habit to chat at night time before they go to bed. They chat quite a bit, you know, they chat about everything before they go to bed. They chat about politics, they chat about the day-to-day affairs and other things. They chat about the family affairs and other things, you know, which is not advisable. It also causes insomnia. So try to withdraw from sound and light and be relaxed and withdrawn from the stimuli. And that can also induce sleep, sound sleep. There are certain foodstuff which naturally induces sleep. There are certain amino acids in the brain like serotonin and tryptophan, which are all different kinds of protein. If the level of those neurotransmitter chemicals in the brain are increased, then the person tries to have sleep immediately. And these are the stuff which are more prevalent in milk and milk products. Naturally, milk has a lot of serotonin and tryptophan. Milk or milk products like yogurt and buttermilk, they all have sedative effect. So if you are not allergic to milk, It's a good habit to have a glass of warm milk every night before you go to bed. It's a natural sedative. Number 7, if you want to have good sleep every day without taking any tranquilizers, so without going to a doctor like me, make sure that you have a habit to go for a walk in the evening. If your job, logic job, does not demand a lot of physical activity, you just have to sit on the chair, like me, I'm sitting on the chair around the clock during daytime. So I have to find time to go for a walk in the evening so as to make my body tired and fall asleep in time. It's a very good habit. Those who have a sedentary lifestyle, it's a very good habit for them to go for a walk in the evening for at least 20 to 25 minutes. Brisk walk. That can tire your body. It can make your body and mind tired. And you can go to sleep in time. It's a natural sedative. Walking, brisk walking, for 20 to 25 minutes or half an hour. Too much of overexertion before you go to bed or in the evening, playing sports for 2 hours or 3 hours is not advisable. If you do a lot of exercise before you go to bed in the evening, it has an opposite effect. It causes insomnia. You tend to fall asleep very late. So, in case you want to have sports, it should be ideally during daytime or in the morning, but not in the evening. It causes insomnia. Okay, I guess I have spoken to you like a one-way traffic. Now I expect two-way traffic. Now I'll invite questions from you if you have, and I'll be happy to answer to that. We have 15 minutes, yeah? Yes, one by one. Yes, sister. Speak a little loudly so that everybody listens to you. Or give the mic, please. Brother? Brother, are you there? Okay, he probably... The residents of Gyan Sarovar have a habit to have a shower in the evening. So they will stick to their routine, come over here and start... They're playing the music and switch on the lights and they will go back to their routine. So they have a fixed routine. So must be taking a shower. Do we have a mic? Can anybody get a mic? No. There is another mic over here. Probably that is working. So otherwise I'll have to repeat the question, right? It will unnecessarily take more time to finish a class. And we won't be able to take many questions, right? Come over here so that tell your name and where are you from and then address me, yeah?
I would like to ask daughter, what about the people who have dreams and those dreams, did they happen? Exactly how they dreamed.
Okay. Well, where are you from, sister? Right. The sister has a question that occasionally it so happens that you have a dream. You see the dream, you watch the dream, and the same thing happens in reality, right? Occasionally it happens. You know, there are plenty of big Bibles written on dream psychology by the doctors, the neurologists, on sleep psychology and dream psychology. Sigmund Freud, you might have heard Sigmund Freud, the psychoanalyst, the neurologist, who was considered to be the father of neuropsychiatry. He has written a book on dream psychology, interpretations of dream and other things. If you're conscious, your subconscious, your unconscious are pure. If your conscious mind, your subconscious mind, your unconscious mind are absolutely pure, then you can have the dreams, you can have this kind of dreams, which can materialize into practical. In other words, you come to know the events that are going to happen in future, like precognition. It's known as precognition, but it happens in the dreams. And occasionally, it's a kind of a gift from Baba. It's a kind of a God gift. Not everyone is fortunate enough to have this kind of gifts. Baba has given different gifts to different people so as to make sure that people don't become atheists. But it does not mean that everyone can be gifted with this special gift of having precognition. Yes, occasionally it might happen that you watch something in your dream and it happens in reality. But most of the times it doesn't happen. What happens? Our dreams are nothing else, but they are repressed, suppressed memories and emotions of our conscious mind that we do during daytime. Whatever unfulfilled desires, whatever suppressed and repressed emotions that we have during daytime are expressed into the dreams in the form of the subconscious mind. So those who have the desires which remain unfulfilled during daytime can fulfill their desires during dreams. Dreams is nothing special, but it's the manifestation of your suppressed, repressed, unfulfilled emotions, desires, conflicts. But occasionally, the dream that you watch can materialize into reality. But most of the times, it may not happen. Yes, any other question? Yes, sister.
My name's Yvonne and I'm from the UK.
Mm-hmm.
My question is why is it that younger people and older people don't need as much sleep as somebody in their 20s, 30s and 40s? And also, what is the effect that if you don't get your required amount of sleep, what effects can that have on the body?
Yeah, let me explain you. The children, the teenagers require more sleep. Because the body is growing, the brain is growing. So the children might require somebody who is a newborn. Say for example, newborn requires 20 hours of sleep a day. Or maybe just 18 hours of sleep. If he or she, the baby, the newborn baby requires just 4 or 5, he or she just remains 4 or 5 hours awake during daytime. But most of the times, the baby sleeps, you know. That's the normal physiological requirement for the growth of the body to occur. So the infants, the children, they require more amount of sleep. As age advances, the growth is no more a priority. The body doesn't require growth. A teenager of, say, for example, 18 years of age has already achieved required height of the body. So the body doesn't demand a lot of rest or sleep. So the amount of sleep gradually reduces as age advances. And in the old age, the metabolic processes of the body are different. You know, we have two kinds of contradictory processes that take place in the body. One is known as anabolism. The other is known as catabolism. Anabolism means growing. Growth, physical growth and mental growth. Growth of the body and growth of the brain. So during childhood, the anabolism is more than the catabolism. Catabolism is death of the body, body cells, death of the body tissues, which happens too much in the old age. So in the old age, catabolism is more than the anabolism. So the requirement of sleep goes down. You want to grow, the body demands growth, the brain demands growth, so there is more requirement of sleep in the childhood, in the teenage. But in the young age, adulthood, or in the old age, that process is reversed and the body, the mind demands less hours of sleep. And secondly, you ask about? Right. If you don't finish the required quota of your sleep, what happens? You deprive your body, your chariot, your system, your brain of required amount of rest. What happens, while we are awake, we tend to use a lot of glucose, we tend to use a lot of oxygen, we tend to use a lot of electrolytes to function. But exactly opposite has to occur during sleep. Whereas the demand of the body reduces. Right now when I'm speaking to you, 70 to 80% of my blood sugar is being used just to make my brain work. Mind well. I draw about 70 to 80% of sugar, blood sugar right now for my brain to function. Although the weight of the brain is just 1.5 to 2 kilograms. So brain demands a lot of energy, sugar, during daytime. It gets exhausted. So is the case with different bodily organs. The hands, the legs, the cardiovascular system, the respiratory system, they all demand a lot of energy during waking stage, during physical activity. And they all require rest at night time. And if you sleep less at night time, you deprive your bodily organs, especially the brain, of required rest. They need to recuperate. They need to have rest, which is restorative in a way, not regenerative, but restorative. It restores your physiology and psychology back to normal so that you are fresh the next day. But if you don't sleep, which is required for your body and mind, then what happens? The brain is affected the very first. And brain affects the other systems of the body. Your heart, your blood pressure, your stomach, your digestive system, your respiratory system. So when you wake up next day, you will not feel fresh. You will be tired. You will be feeling fatigued. You will be irritable. You will not be up to mark. You will be less energetic. So even for Brahmins, sleep is very much required for your body, for your brain, for your soul. If you want to enjoy a lot of yoga, if you want to enjoy a lot of karmana seva, if you want to enjoy doing service, if you want to enjoy your efforts, you must give proper rest to your body and your mind. Okay? Any other question? Yes, sister.
I'm Arlene from the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
What causes the disorder of talking while asleep, and this is associated with dreaming, and how do you address this disorder?
Yes, it's a good question. I must have told you about the same. I just briefly mentioned about it. You know, there are different sleep and sleep-related disorders which are known as perverted sleep disorders. Somebody who snores during sleep or somebody who talks during sleep, which is known as somnolaki, it's known as a sleep-talking disorder. It's a disorder. But half of the people who have sleep talking has a neurological problem in the brain. The brain is damaged either during birth or during childhood. We take out their EEG and we find that there are abnormal brainwave patterns in their EEG, which is a kind of a minor epilepsy. We call it complex partial seizure disorder. It's a treatable, completely curable disorder, mind well. But it so happens that somebody who talks during sleep enjoys good sleep, but the rest others who are sleeping along with him has insomnia. And they will complain about it. So is the case with snoring. Somebody who is snoring, it's known as sleep apnea disorder. You know, sleep snoring. We have a nasal septum in the nose here. It's a kind of a leather partition here, you know. And many of you might be aware of the fact that we have two lungs. But one of them is a big one. The right lung is larger than the left one. So what happens? While we breathe, the right side of the air entry towards the nose is more as compared to the left. So this drum, this leather-like partition in the nose fluctuates. It flickers. It produces vibrations. But those who are obese, or those who are overweight, or those who have done a lot of overexertion, their lungs demand more oxygen. So they tend to breathe very deeply. And in that case, when there is a lot of deep breathing, especially the obese people, because obese people have a restricted breathing because of their big tummy. So they have an uneven entry into the right and the left lung, and it causes more fluctuations, and it vibrates, and it produces sound, which is known as snoring. Some of the people who have bronchial problems, you know, asthma, we have the trachea and bronchi here, you know, connecting our lungs to the nose. So that trachea and bronchi are sometimes constricted because of the allergens, because of the respiratory infection, because of asthma. These are the people also have a problem of snoring. So snoring is because of some other factors. It may not be primarily a sleep disorder. Sometimes this nasal septum is deviated. This nasal partition is deviated towards one side. It's more towards one side, which the ENT surgeons can fix it and repair it, and your snoring can disappear. So there are so many causes of snoring, but you have to recognize it, that it's a problem. Those who have problem of sleep apnea can also have snoring. As I told you before, there are some people who have cessation of breathing. Their respiration stops for 20 to 30 seconds during sleep. And it happens many a times during night. Sleep apnea, which is known as sleep apnea. So what happens? For 20 to 30 seconds, the respiration stops. So the body has less oxygen. The brain has less oxygen, because the blood gets oxygenated here in the lungs. After 20 to 30 seconds of stoppage of respiration, the lungs tend to breathe too much just to compensate the requirement of oxygen which is missing. And then there is a lot of snoring again. So there is vigorous, deep, fast breathing subsequent to stoppage of respiration for 20 to 30 seconds. That causes snoring again. So this sleep apnea and snoring goes hand in hand. And it happens more in obese people. It happens more in obese diabetic people. It happens more in patients having heart problems. Sorry? Yes, it can be cured. You have to consult your physician. You have to let your physician know about it. And if required, you have to undergo special tests. If required, you have to take an opinion from a neurologist or a neuropsychiatrist. Sleep talking, sleep walking, nightmare disorder, recurrent frightening dreams. These are all curable sleep disorders. But you have to consult an appropriate specialist for that.